All right, Psalms 27. So I think we'll be finishing up Psalms 27 today. So just want to do a run through from beginning to end, just to kind of review what we've gone over. So actually, where are my notes? So the first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? So we already know that, you know. The Lord is our light and our salvation. He'll give us that durability. He'll give us, be able to help us go the distance, go all the way. And He is our deliverance, you know, from, and our preservation, you know, in this world. He will preserve us through the hard times, and He'll deliver us out of the bad times. And when you have that in your life, you know, the scripture says, whom shall I fear? And that's what we try to take away from that. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. So, we discussed that our enemies are not people, our enemies are not, you know, flesh and blood, but principalities, as Ephesians chapter 6 says. Our enemies aren't, you know, the people you think are annoying, or the people you can't get along with, or the people you don't like. Your enemies are maybe, sometimes we just have differences as humans, but the enemies are really the spirits, and you know, the, like the scripture said, spiritual wickedness in high places, and principalities, and things of that nature. So maybe sometimes, even unbelievers, those are not our enemies, but we're just wary of the spiritual influence that they're under. So that's what we're cautious of, and that's what we're, you know, looking out for. But like we always say, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin, but we are supposed to love the sinner and show the love of Christ in everything we do. Verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. So, like I said, war, conflict. It says, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. So war, conflict, those are things that we just go through in life, things that are always going to come up. Like there's going to be school, there's going to be just things, like you have disagreements with people, maybe your parents, friends, just there's always going to be something. Or even when you get older and you got to start working, you're going to have to and get on your own, you have to pay bills, you have to pay this comes up. There's always these problems, even at your job, there's a manager maybe on you, or it's just really stressful. Or there's all these things in life where there's all this war and conflict in your life. But the scripture says, in this will I be confident. And it's because, and he says that because the Lord, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? So when the Lord is your salvation, and he preserves you and he's your deliverance, you know, he will keep you, and you can have confidence in him. So really the confidence in, David is saying, in this will I be confident. He's confident in his conflict because he believes that, you know, God is going to provide and God is going to take care of him. And that's why he's confident in his conflict. He's not confident because of, you know, anything he's done or anything in himself, but he knows his Lord is powerful and will look out for him because he's under the obedience of the Lord. Even when he, you know, fought the lion, the bear, and Goliath, you know, all those times he knew God was behind him, and that's why he was confident. Now there was a literal war going on, but our war, you know, we're not literally at war, but we have issues in our lives and struggles and temptations and trials and all those things, and in that we should be confident because we know, you know, we have God in our lives, and that's why it's so important to have a personal experience with God, because then all these things that come up in your life, you can be confident in them, and you can be confident that the Lord will protect you and provide for you. So verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, if you've been here, you should be able to quote that almost verbatim, because I read that one like almost every lesson. But that really shows the desire of David, and also what our desire should be as Christians. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So like even when Brother Wade talks about, you know, coming to church, and he quotes the, when Brother Branham's talking about, as soon as those church doors are open, you can barely keep a real Christian out, because they just want to be in church. And David's expressing that same idea here. He's saying, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, but dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Like, you know, do you love God so much that if you could go to church every day, that's what you'd want? You know what I mean? Like, dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Every day would be church. And that's really what heaven's going to be. We're just going to be having church. We're going to be worshiping God. There's no work. There's no school. There's no stress. It's going to be constant fellowship with each other and constant fellowship with God. And so if that's what you desire, you know, that's what you'll get in the end when we go to the other side. But that is what David is expressing there, all the days of my life. Like, do you really, you know, desire God like that? Do you really, you know, love church like that? Do you love the fellowship? Do you love the worship? Do you love the preaching? That you would want, you know, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. And we should be constantly asking ourselves that question, constantly seeking that experience. And then the rest of it says, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Like, I stress this pretty much every lesson, I stress this, to inquire in his temple is to be inquisitive, to ask questions, to want to learn more. You know, like when you pick up a book maybe, or something you're interested in, and you just want to read about it, or you want to look it up, or you want to search, and you want to, or watch this, and just want to keep watching, or whatever it is that you do, or maybe you want to paint or draw, or you play a sport, and whatever that is, you want to just be so obsessed with that sometimes, and you just, you inquire. If you want to get better at something, you have to inquire. And if you're playing a sport, or if you're drawing, or whatever you're doing, you have to inquire to get better. And are you that way with the Word? Are you in the Word really looking into it and being like, what are the mysteries? What are these things? Like, what's going on? What is the will of God in my life? Like, what, and you have these questions, and if the preacher preaches something you don't understand, you go up to him afterwards and ask him, like, what does that mean? Can you explain that a little more? I didn't quite get that. If you're asking questions to brothers, if you have a question, you can ask the ministers, you can ask me, the deacons, anyone, you know, there's people who want to give you these answers and want to talk to you. So it's always good to inquire in his temple, and blessings will come with that. And if you have a question, God will have an answer. God will give you an answer. It may not come today, a week. It may take a year or longer, but God will provide. And if you have that faith, he has to honor it. And if you know that, then, you know, you'll be unstoppable. Like Brother Ronnie was preaching yesterday, once the bride knows who they are, they'll be an invincible army. So if you truly understand that, you know, your Lord will take care of you regardless of the situation, and he will take care of you because he promised to do so, then you will really be unstoppable. You know, and to inquire in his temple, and to continue to do that, you know, in your entire Christian journey, to really just inquire in his temple, and that desire for knowledge and wisdom. And that one lesson, I quoted the scripture of Proverbs where he says, by understanding, God created the earth and the heavens. I don't have the exact scripture, but he says, by understanding, you know, he does things. And so for us to understand his word is so, it's I can't stress how important it is to just inquire in his temple. And that's really something that I really focused on throughout this, throughout our study of Psalms 27. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me upon a rock. Now that's when if you ever hear us sing that song, God is my refuge, you know, and that's really what this verse is speaking of. Is that in the time of trouble, when everything's going wrong, when things are going bad, God will preserve you, deliver you, like it says in verse 1, he's my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? He says the same thing in verse 5, is like he's going to hide you in his pavilion in trouble, when you're struggling, when you have a need, when you have a desire on your heart, when you have a burden on your heart for somebody maybe, he will hide you in his pavilion, and he will take care of you, he will comfort you. He will, you know, provide for you, and when you're really needy, he'll show up. Verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around me, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now, like we already discussed, the enemies are spiritual wickedness in high places and principalities and all those things. So now my head should be lifted up above mine enemies. So that speaks of overcoming. You know, when you, maybe some people struggle with things and maybe, you know, they don't want to tell people, or maybe they do tell people or whatever it is. People struggle with just our humanity. And sometimes the things we do, but I'm sure anyone who has an experience with God can tell you that those things, you know, go away once you really get into the Word. And even Brother Ryan says, like, he says, if someone has a problem with this, I tell them to read the Bible and pray. If someone has a problem with this, I tell them to read the Bible and pray. Someone has a problem. And it's the same solution for the different problems, but it's the same solution because, and like you said, it works. It works because, like that song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus and the things of this world will go strangely dim. And it says strangely dim because sometimes you won't even realize just how they'll just fade away. Like sometimes, or you can talk to brothers and sisters who have maybe overcome things, and sometimes they just overcome them and they don't even realize it. And then they look back and they're like, oh, I used to struggle with that. And now it's gone. So just things like that where if you just focus on the Word and focus on God, you know, sometimes you'll almost just forget. Like most people who have like a new birth experience will say that, you know, when I had the new birth, like there were certain things that just went away. And it's like, I think Brother Wade talks about how he used to, you know, have a potty mouth. He used to cuss a lot. But then when he got the new birth in his life and certain things started happening, he tried to call a brother on the phone, and then he was about to say a word, and then he couldn't say it, and he physically just wasn't able to say it. So things like that, and certain things would just, the Lord would just take care of him, you know. And there are some things that we have to overcome through faith and through our own, you know, understanding and studying and praying. But there are some things that would just fade away, and that's what's, it's really a blessing when those things happen. And that's what the scripture speaking of, your head being lifted up above your enemies round about you. And it says, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, and I will sing praises unto the Lord. So once you overcome, don't forget to, you know, don't forget who did it. You know, give God the glory, you know. And just, he likes to hear you sing. He likes to hear you praise him. So when he does something for you, you know, just praise him and be grateful. And verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Now, David is here just crying out to the Lord and just saying, hear me, Lord. You know, sometimes people don't hear us. Sometimes no one listens to us. Sometimes we feel like we're left out. But here David is saying, hear me, Lord. You know, please hear, Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me. Answer me. You know, so David's asking for mercy. He wants the Lord to hear him. And he's saying, Lord, please answer me. You know, because maybe not so many people are doing that in David's life or whatever he's going through, but he knows God. He knows God is a place of refuge, so he's asking God fervently, you know, answer my prayer and hear me when I cry. Verse 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So we discussed that the face is, you know, when I see someone's face, it's to be, it's that I'm in their presence, that I'm close to them. You know, because if I can see your face, I know exactly where you are. Maybe if we're talking, I can see if you agree with the conversation or if you're not. Even without you saying a word, if I say, hear someone say something and I see you and you have a certain look on your face, I can tell, you know, maybe how you felt about what they said or what's going on. So just things of that nature, just being close to God, wanting to see him face to face and being in his presence and really understanding the things. And the closer you get to his face, the closer you get to him. And that's true in the physical. Like the more details I can see on your face, the closer I am to you. So, and David accepts the commandment in his heart, as I was saying before, that he says, in my heart, set him to be of thy face, Lord, will I seek. So he's coming into complete obedience to God. And that's really where the power is. And that's what Brother Ronnie was touching on yesterday, was that when we're in obedience to God, then that's where our power comes from. Verse 9, hide thou not thy faith far from me, but put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. So we know God has promised not to forsake us, and that is the promise that David is almost calling up upon. He's like, hide not thy face from me, Lord. Like, you know, I want to be in your presence. You know, I want to inquire in your temple all the days of my life, and that nature. Verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So like I was saying last time, you know, there's going to be times where maybe your mom and dad, you know, they love you and they want to do the best for you, but they can't necessarily always understand what we're going through as people, or just think that we're just different. So sometimes there's things that you go through that maybe your parents never went through. Maybe they don't understand what you're going through. And you can't quite talk to them all the time about certain things. But it says, then the Lord will take me up. So when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And most of the verse doesn't say if my father and mother forsake me. It says when my father and my mother forsake me. But there are going to be things that you have to go through without your parents, because you're going to be growing up and you're going to be doing things on your own. And that your parents aren't always going to be there, but if you have the Lord, then He's going to take care of you, and you know He'll provide, and He'll teach you, and He'll, you know, take you under His wing, and that's where we have confidence in our war. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. So once again, David's asking the Lord to teach me thy way, O Lord, and he's constantly asking for guidance. You know, he says, "Oh Lord, to be lead me in a plain path." You know, a plain path is a place. There's not a lot of obstruction. There's not a lot of danger. There's no one hiding in a bush. It's a plain path. You can just walk right through, and God can do that for you. Verse 12: Deliver me not into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. So once again, deliver me not into my enemies. Our enemies are spiritual principalities, things of that nature. You know, and David's asking for deliverance, which he claimed in verse 1, Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? You know, and that is deliverance right there. So, verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So that means, I had fainted means, you know, to be very weak. Most people, when they faint, they pass out, basically. Or they, you know, or maybe their knees buckle and they fall. So I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So the goodness of God is just things that, you know, encourage you, things that are a blessing to you. So I think I asked last time you guys to keep that question in mind. So now if you guys want to maybe talk about when you've seen the goodness of God in your life, or if someone wants to, you know. Kaylee, let's start with you.
When he delivered me from depression.
Mm-hmm. That is the goodness of God, yes. Zoe?
At youth camps, and every day.
Every day, that's good. Certainly every day, yes. Abby?
When I was little, my hair would fall out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he delivered me from that, and now I have really long hair.
That is the goodness of God. Yes, He is a healer.
I also used to be colorblind when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Mercy?
When I was healed from, when she was a baby from dying.
Mm-hmm. That's the goodness of God in the land of the living. Absolutely. Isabella?
yes, you will bring my grandparents when I'm sir.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Levi?
When mine and Abby's grandfather survived a stroke, and then years later managed to survive falling downstairs.
Yeah, that's good. Nathaniel?
Lucas,
I knew that.
My grandfather had a stroke, but he's been able to recover. And though he has dementia, he's doing a lot better than he was.
That's good, yeah. Thomas?
When I got adopted.
Yeah, that's good. Natalia?
My confidence has definitely gone up more than it used to be. It was really bad, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. You don't. You're the only one left. When have you seen the goodness of God, the land of the living?
I need more time. It
could be anything. Anything that you're grateful for.
My cat.
Well, that's good too. You know, there are definitely people and things in our life, you know, that express the goodness of God to us. So all those things are good examples of, you know, the goodness of God and the things that He gives us that, you know, keep us going, and maybe the ways that He blesses us and the way He keeps us strong and strengthens us. You know, the scripture says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So all those things are great. Actually, you know, even Brother Ronnie was talking yesterday about how many of us were born in the Message Home, and pretty much everyone raised their hands. And to me, that's the goodness of God in the land of the living, is that you can be raised in you know, a Christian household and to have parents who care about you and want you to have an experience with the Lord. And all those things are the goodness of God. And even just the fact that, you know, there's that one song, I think Zoe and Kaylee sang it one time, where it's like, I have shoes on my feet, I have a family. Say again?
The commission. No, I have been blessed.
I've been blessed. That's the song. Yeah, where it's just like, I have shoes on my feet, I have parents, I have a mother and father. You know, like just basic things. But those are all things that, you know, the goodness of God. It's things to be grateful for and things to be thankful for that, you know, He gave us, and that we can, that strengthen us throughout our daily lives, just to remind ourselves, you know, what He's done for us. And sometimes you get so caught up and you get, you know, busy and you just get into the flow of life, and then sometimes you kind of forget. But if you look back, you can see like how much God has done for you, and it's really incredible. You know, and people really, you can ask around the church, people have testimonies, people can tell you. Like, what is between the goodness of the Lord and the land of living in your life, you know, and they can tell you. And they'll have just a list of things, a laundry list, and it's just His goodness is constantly being displayed to us. And if we just open our eyes to it and just truly be grateful for what He's doing, you know, it's really, it will strengthen you, and it really will help you in your walk. So it says, "I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living." So that's a scripture that is dear to me, you know, because there's a lot of times where you feel weak and you feel like maybe you're out of touch or something, and then the Lord will just bless you with something, or He'll show you something, and then you'll just be so grateful. So, I'm kind of over time, but verse 14, last verse, says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So, there's a lot of things where sometimes you want to get things done or do something, but really we need to wait on the Lord and wait on what He says. So if something's happening in your life and maybe you need to make a decision, pray about it and wait on the Lord. Wait for an answer. Wait for something to come. Wait for a confirmation. Wait for something, because it says be of good courage. So it means be courageous, be brave, you know, because sometimes waiting on the Lord does take courage, and sometimes it is a dire situation where maybe you want things to happen a little faster than they're happening. But it says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So this afternoon, just be of good courage and wait for Him to strengthen you. And He will. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. God bless you this morning.